Followed by Cleveland Indians baseball tonight with the Tribe taking on the Kansas City Royals. Beginning a brand new series this evening, 7:35 Indians warm-up, 8:15 the time of tonight's first pitch. We will continue to talk Tribe now as we head back to the hotline to bring in Jim Ingram with the Chronicle Telegram, Medina Gazette, and a special contributor to Forbes as well. Jim, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time and very interesting times indeed right now for the Tribe. You wrote an article back at the beginning of July talking about how it would be a very big month for the Indians to determine whether they would be a buyer or a seller at the deadline. Boy, July has been very, very kind to the Tribe. The Indians 14-4 this month. How do you see these next 6 days playing out, Jim? You'd like to think they're going to be a buyer, if anything else, aren't they?
Yeah, you would think so, Andy. At this point, you know, there's been a lack of movement, not just with the Indians, but everybody to this point. And we still got, as you said, 6 days to go. At this point, I don't think I would be surprised by anything, whether they ended up buying, selling, or just standing pat. It just seems like this current surge they're on, it would be easy to get swept up in that and say you don't need to do anything. But sometimes that can be a dangerous non-move to make. So I still think they're going to do something. I don't know if it'll be trading Bauer or maybe adding another reliever or trying to get a lesser bat than you would keep Bauer and try to trade for another, you know, kind of a journeyman bat to try to bolster the lineup somehow. But I do think they owe it to themselves to do something, because obviously they've played themselves right back into the hunt for not just the wild card, but certainly for the division race now with the yapping at the heels of the Twins now. So I think they will do something, and maybe they don't really know either. They might still be kind of sifting through offers and making calls on their own for certain guys that they'd be interested in. So it should be a very interesting next 6 days.
Jim, the last two games haven't offered great big numbers, but the offense has been better for the Indians recently. Is it still a bat you think they need at the trade deadline, or should they be looking elsewhere?
Yeah, well, I would say a bat. Although I would say if you're going to trade Bauer, you need to get not just a bat but a major bat, you know, whether it's an established guy or a guy that's right on the cusp of the major leagues that can come in and be an everyday player for you starting like now. So I wouldn't get too over amped about the offense, because they are playing – these last several series have been mostly against the lesser teams in the league, and you know, obviously you're going to face not quite the pitching they're going to face in the next month. In fact, I looked it up today. I think it's 16 of their next 20 starting Tuesday. 16 of their next 21 games are against the Astros and the Yankees, the Twins, and the Angels, I think it is. So the caliber of competition in the next 3 to 4 weeks is really going to increase a lot. So that'll tell us even more. But unfortunately, they're going to have to make the trade deadline decisions before the bulk of those games are played. So it's really kind of an interesting period for them, because, as you said, Andy, they could buy, they could sell, or they could just stand pat. So I would expect them to do something now, though, because they've played themselves back squarely into the division race. And I think they owe it to themselves to try to make some kind of move to improve the roster.
It's incredible how they've been able to drop that deficit in the division down to 2 games, because you still have 10 games left against the Twins, and now it all seems pretty reasonable. And reasonable is a word that kind of gets thrown around right around the trading deadline. You hear so many different rumors thrown up against the wall, and you get to a point where you wonder which one's actually going to stick. But there have been some names tossed out there, and I think outfield was a position at the beginning of the year a lot of Indians fans didn't look at with a whole lot of confidence. That group on the whole, though, has hit a little bit better of late. And as you mentioned, it's been against inferior competition. But when you hear some of these rumors, does a name like Yasiel Puig excite you at all? Is that a guy that kind of moves the meter for you?
Yeah, probably, I would say. I would say so. I mean, he's got that kind of funky personality that rubs people the wrong way sometimes. And he can do some unpredictable things. And he's had a reputation for not always hustling, but he's a guy that definitely could get the attention of the other manager. I mean, he can hit the ball a long way when he's locked in, and you know, it might be a guy like that, or you know, a guy like Jay Bruce back a couple years ago that they traded for in the second half. A guy that not necessarily a long-term answer, but one that'll, you know, do some hitting for you in the last couple, 3 months of the season and hopefully the postseason. So, you know, in that case, you wouldn't have to necessarily give up one of your premier prospects to get a guy like that either, I wouldn't think. But, you know, you mentioned Puig's name, but the Reds, the division they're in, it's totally up for grabs. All five teams seem to have a shot at it. So I think that's another thing that's at work here, the lack of clarity in the division races. I mean, you know, in the last 3 weeks, things have changed a lot in not just the Indians division, but a lot of the other divisions. And there's maybe more teams that think they're still in the race than would have thought that in a normal season. So I think there's probably a lot of cell phones being rung in Major League front offices, not just now, but for the next 6 days.
Well, Jim, you had written an article a few days back detailing what the Indians' rotation would look like if indeed they decide to trade Trevor Bauer, because that's a move that a lot of people would look at on the surface and say, why are they selling at the deadline? But you mentioned that that's not necessarily what they would be doing per se, because there's this recent influx and all this really good pitching in the Indian system. You detailed some names in your articles, some names that I think a lot of Indians fans might not necessarily be familiar with, but I want to give you a chance to kind of explain what you found in detailing why trading Bauer wouldn't necessarily be an awful thing, and if the Indians have confidence that some guys can come back from injury, well, it makes them even all the more expendable.
Yeah, that's true. And the way Terry Francona's talking, it sounds like Corey Kluber is really, really coming on pretty strong in his rehab and could be a factor before the end of the season, maybe even before the end of August. And if that's the case, you know, obviously you wouldn't expect him to be prime Corey Kluber, but, you know, even an 80% Corey Kluber is better than most major league pitchers. And, you know, if you think you're going to have Kluber join in the rotation, maybe that lessens the hurt of making a trade in which you use Bauer. But Kluber's a guy. Salazar seems to finally be making some progress in his comeback, and he's, I think, even up at Triple-A now pitching in games. So that's another guy that potentially could be a rotation option, or if they chose to use him in the bullpen to help out there, it's a possibility. So, you know, there's those guys, and you know, these guys that have been called up, I mean, Zach Plesac and Aaron Civale, who only had one start, but it was a really good start. You know, Plutko's kind of a serviceable guy. And, you know, they got a couple other guys below that if they want to push them, you know, up to the big leagues if you were to trade Bauer. I think that the depth of the rotation is maybe deeper than a lot of people realize because of all those factors. I mean, they've got some young guys almost ready for the big leagues that look pretty promising. And, you know, Kluber potentially could come back. Salazar could potentially come back. And let's not forget Shane Bieber, who's all of a sudden become Corey Kluber-like in the way he's pitched this year, which has really been a big help. And Clevinger seems to be making progress in each of his starts. So, you know, all those names I've just mentioned, Bowers wasn't one of them. So that still leads me to believe and think that if I were them, I would trade Bauer, because if you don't trade him now, you're gonna trade him in the offseason for half of what you could have got for him now. And I just think that's making better use of your assets if you use them to get something you really need. And in this case, it would be a hitter that presumably you would be having on the big league roster immediately, and probably a younger guy that you'd have under control for the next 4 or 5 years.
Jim, as you kind of point out, obviously Bauer's the big guy who draws the attention from other teams out there. Is there anybody else who might be getting notice here as the trade deadline approached by other teams from the Indians?
That's a good question, actually. Probably not anybody that they would want to trade. I mean, sure. I thought for a time, Brad Hand would be a guy, and maybe he still would be. He's been in a slump lately, but you don't want to put too much stock in that because he had 2.5 really great months and is a proven closer. So, you know, if they were blown away by an offer for Hand, maybe they did that if they were able to add a reliever coming back to the Indians. But his contract's much different than Bauer's. He's making a lot less money, and he's signed for, I think it's 2 or 3 more years. So there's not the urgency to make a decision on him right now. I can't see any of their bench players being guys that other teams would want. I mean, I don't know, would Kipnis, if they could upgrade at second base, maybe there would be a contending team that has a need for a second baseman, that Kipnis might be an option for them. Other than that, nobody really jumps to mind as far as those kinds of guys.
We're talking Tribe with Jim Ingram with the Chronicle-Telegram, Medina Gazette, and a special contributor to Forbes as well here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Well, you talk about the depth in the rotation, and there are a lot of interesting names in there. You mentioned a few, Aaron Civale, and I think in your article you also mentioned a young man by the name of Eli Morgan, who you detailed an eighth-round pick a few years back, and he's having a very nice season as well. It just goes to show you how well the Indians have done, whether it be trading, you know, and drafting and developing, or trading and developing for some of these guys. There's just so much pitching in this system that it gives you a great deal of confidence knowing if you part ways with a guy like Trevor Bauer, you could still end up being okay. And along those same lines, you talked about how recently Shane Bieber has been Kluber-esque, and we've had this discussion a couple times in the show. You know, if you had to begin the playoffs in the next couple of days, it's a tough decision to make, but certainly one I'm sure that Terry Francona wouldn't mind making. Who ends up starting game one in the playoffs if the Tribe were to begin the playoffs in a couple days? I mean, Bieber's name has to be in the mix, doesn't it?
Yeah, for me it would be Bieber. I mean, I think a lot of people kind of chuckled at the All-Star MVP honors he got, thinking that was kind of a hometown thing. But he was pitching really well before the All-Star game, and he's pitching even better since the All-Star game. And I just like the way he is. Poise and composure on the mound. I mean, he's a lot like Kluber as far as, you know, he just seems in control of everything. He doesn't panic out there. He just throws strikes, and throws good strikes, not strikes that are over the middle of the plate. And he's really coming on strong. And I would say even better than Bauer right now, as far as, you know, Bauer's can have those great individual games, but as far as the body of work to this point in this season, I think Bieber's been the better pitcher.
How much confidence do you have in Danny Salazar coming back and returning to form? I think at this point, I wouldn't mind seeing the Tribe add him to the bullpen. I'd be real nervous if he becomes a part of the rotation. Jim, how much confidence do you have in Salazar coming back?
Well, a lot more than I had two or three months ago, or even a year ago, I would say. The fact that he's making progress is encouraging. But they've been down this road before where, you know, he gets up here or he gets almost here and then he has a setback and goes back to Goodyear or wherever they want to send him. I think maybe Danny's realizing that this, you know, his career is probably on the line as far, not his career, but his time in Cleveland probably is, because if he doesn't get up here and do something significant in the last couple months, I have a hard time seeing the Indians signing him for another $5 million or $4.5 million, which is what they gave him the last 2 years. So He's got something to prove to the Indians, at least, and other teams too, because other teams notice that he hasn't been pitching in the big leagues for 2.5 years now. So, you know, there's a carrot there that I think he's worth chasing for him. So I'd say there's a chance. And, you know, all the other stuff aside, that arm is still that arm, and it's an arm that teams are more than happy to gamble on, because there aren't a lot of arms like that. And that's why if he could get back up here, as you said, whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen, he's a chance to be a big difference maker, because, you know, he's going to be fresher than anybody, obviously, because he hasn't pitched much this year. So he's kind of a wild card in this whole scenario leading up to the trade deadline. That, you know, can Salazar be up here and can he be effective? And if it does, how does that alter our pitching plans and the setup in the bullpen or the rotation? There's a lot of different ways they can go on that. And that's why it might end up being that they don't do anything till the last 12 hours to the trade deadline, till they can, you know, put off making what's going to be some very important decisions for the team this year and in the future, as long as they can, to get the best read possible on what's out there.
Is there an area in particular where you really think that, as you mentioned, they owe it to themselves to really try and improve? Because, you know, I think we always look at the offensive numbers. While they've been better, they've done it against some teams that aren't all that great, and there's always room for improvement. Or is it the bullpen? Because the bullpen certainly has been great, and I think to some degree unexpectedly great throughout the course of the year. But you can always use reinforcements there as well. Is there a particular area where you really think they should try and attack before next Wednesday?
Yeah, I wrote a column today about the bullpen. I thought, you know, I'm not buying into panicking over Brad Hand's last few starts. I think he'll be fine. But, you know, I keep thinking back to 2016 when they had three clear elite relievers in Shaw and Miller and Cody Allen. And, you know, even though their bullpens had the best bullpen ERA for in the majors, actually, for most of this year, you know, you've got Hand, but the next two elite guys that you kind of need aren't really emerging, I don't think. I mean, there's been a lot of those guys that have been really serviceable, but you need a fallback for on days when you're like Brad Hand has a bad day or, you know, a bad game. You got to, especially when you get to the postseason, you got to have, you know, a couple three guys that you can count on that can also come in there and just strike people out when somebody needs to be struck out. And so for that reason, I'd be, you know, if it's not the Bauer deal, I would try to concentrate on getting another big bullpen arm that, you know, they can plug into the bullpen and say, you know, this guy could be a closer if we need him, but as a setup guy for Hand right now would be just as valuable. So that might be an area that they might think about addressing.
Should be an exciting next 6 days leading up to the trading deadline next Wednesday. Jim, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for stopping by, and we'll do this again soon.
Okay, guys, my pleasure.